Let us go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We do ask and receive this morning that utterance is given. There is no confusion as God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with clarity and accuracy. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is. Hallelujah. There's no confusion here. Hallelujah. There's no confusion. Oh, say there's no confusion here. Say there's no confusion here. Clarity is gained. Hallelujah. We've been dealing with what you call concerning spirituals. And we've been trying to deal with the things about the spirit that is already in us. And we've paid attention to a few things. And over the last weekend, we had what we call the Bible seminar, where we gave ourselves to express the power of God in us. We treated the topic healing. Is that true? Healing miracles. We treated the topic healing on healing, you know, treated how to get people healed. And we got to the streets to get people healed. We got people healed. You know, we explained healing from Genesis up until, you know, the epistles and all of that. And we said that during this particular series, we are going to be dealing with the utterance gifts. Is that true? Yeah, utterance gifts. If you have the Bibles, which I believe you should be with, turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Mark, chapter 16. Mark, chapter 16. If you've missed out on our previous teachings on concerning spirituals, kindly reach out to Brother Taiwo to revisit them, because we've laid a lot of foundation about these things of the spirit. And some things we might say today might sound new to you, but just don't give in to fear. Yeah, there's clarity. Hallelujah. You know, just pay attention to those teachings, and we trust that you would understand a lot of things. I've had people who have listened to just a single message on tongues. In fact, I've had people who listened to our message on tongues last week Sunday, and within the week, they started speaking in tongues. Yeah, what really happened? We just exposed them to the truth of God's word. Yeah, it's just knowledge. So the reason why a lot of people don't speak in tongues is knowledge. Yeah, our Christian faith, our religion, what we call our practice, is a knowledge-based faith. Yeah, it is knowledge that empowers us to do the things we do. It is knowledge that empowers us to do the things we do. It's knowledge that empowers us to, you know, we're a church that is giving to the things of the Spirit, the ministry of the Word, ministry of the prayer, and the ministry of the Spirit. What that means is that we pay attention to the Word in God's palace. We pay attention to prayer. Yeah, we pay attention to giving the Spirit a free flow. So every believer is to speak in tongues and to teach others the doctrine behind tongues. Look at Mark 16, verse, except you don't believe in the Bible. That saves you. Look at Mark 16, verse 17 over 16. Look at Mark 16, let's say 15. Let's say 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and what? And what? And what? Can we say that together? And what? So what is the instruction? Go ye into the world, and what? Preach the gospel. Yeah, the word there, preach, is to what? Publicly proclaim. To announce that great news. Yeah, to announce a news, or to announce something, or to announce something to the people. Yeah, there is something we have to publicly announce. Preach the gospel to every creature. Look at verse 16. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. So we have two categories of people in that verse. He that believeth. Is that true? And he that doesn't believe. So he that believeth, what shall happen to him? Beautiful. He that doesn't believe, beautiful. So where does baptism come there? He that believeth, right? So you see, he said he that believeth and is baptized. He's not saying he that believeth and is dipped into water. Name of the Father. Name of the Son. No, no, no. He that is baptized, he that believeth and is baptized. The word there, and is, that is, which is, I mean, even. Yeah, so when you see John chapter 3, where Jesus says to Nicodemus, a man was born of water and the Spirit. He's not saying water and the Spirit. It is water that is the Spirit. So that's figurative. So baptism here is used for those who believe. That's why you see, it doesn't say he that is not baptized. So there are people who have been dipped into water, brought out once, brought out second time, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and they are not saved. Yeah, because salvation is something we receive in our hearts. So there are people who their hearts have not believed the gospel, yet they've been dipped into water. Is that true? Yeah. So it says that he that believeth, that is baptized, shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now he now speaks to those who believe. Look at verse 17. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. These signs shall follow them that believe. So it means that there are signs that are to follow those who believe. So it means that if you have believed and you have been baptized, there's a sign that should follow. Is that true? He that believeth, that is baptized, shall be saved. And this sign shall follow. In my name, what? They shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. So everybody who has believed the gospel has the ability to speak with new tongues. We taught on Wednesday that tongues is something that is resident in the Spirit of God that we've received. The word there, new, before tongues, is the word what? Kainos, right? Yeah, the word kainos is a word that, you know, we looked at it on Wednesday and we saw that it was a word that points the attention of what is being spoken about. That's the same word used in new creature. He that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, right? So the new creature is that word new points to the creation. So it's a species that has not existed before. So the tongues that a believer receives is a language that is not existence on earth. So tongues is not a modified Yoruba language. Yeah? Yeah? Tongues is not a modified Hebrew language. Tongues is the language of the Spirit. He that believeth in the gospel. Now, what did Jesus say they should go and preach? That means there are two categories of people that you will meet when you preach the gospel. Those who will believe and those who will not believe. So those who believe, there is something that follows them as signs. What is that? They shall speak with what? New tongues. So every believer can speak with new tongues. Is that true? Is that true? But not every believer speaks with new tongues. Is that true? Why do you suppose, you know, you hear people say things like, why don't you speak in tongues? You know, Pastor, I don't want to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. Yeah, Matthew 12. Have we done teaching on Matthew 12 before? Have we done teaching on blasphemy against the Holy Ghost? Yeah, okay. So let me summarize it. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is not about speaking in tongues. He was speaking about a strong man having captives. Yeah? And how can you deliver? Should we go there? Matthew 12. Go to Matthew 12 quickly. Matthew 12. Matthew's Gospel 12. 21? Beautiful. Then was brought unto Jesus one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed them, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Yeah, that's healing. Remember the seminar on healing? Healing is a what? Healing is a sign. Yes. Yes, healing is a sign that points to the reality. So it means that when Jesus healed the blind and the deaf, it was a sign pointing to what he would do to us upon resurrection. Yeah? Look at verse 23. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they saw, they followed, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Yeah? 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. What is he teaching? You cannot cast out devils by the power of the devil. Did you get that? Yeah? Did you get that? You cannot cast out devil by the power. So when he says a city divided against itself cannot stand, you can't be demon-possessed and use the demon ability to cast out a demon-possessed person. Yeah, cast out demon from a demon-possessed person. Look at verse 26. He says, and if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. Is that what I just explained? Yes. Is that what I just explained? Look at the next verse. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Verse 28. Wow. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Kingdom of God is about the resurrection, right? 29. Let's see where it says 29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first binds the strong man? So you cannot go into a strong man's house and take his goods without dealing with the strong man at the gate or at the door. You think about a Nigerian prison. Yeah, if you want to release your friends, let's say you have friends who were arrested and you want to release your friends without taking bail. What do? You try to deal with the police officers on duty. By dealing with them, the prisoners see a free road escape and they what? Run. So who did you deal with to release the prisoners? The strong men of the prison. Did you get that? Did we get that? So the strong men of the prison, who you will call the wardens, are the ones you deal with. So Jesus now says, how can you get into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first binds the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Look at verse 30. Now remember what Jesus said. Hold your thoughts in Matthew 12:30 and go to Luke 24:44. We're coming back to Matthew 12. Yeah? Matthew 12:30. Go to Luke 24:44. Luke 24:44. Let's read that together. Hold on. While I was yet with you means what? Is he not alive today? He said, well, he was yet alive. He was still alive. Is he dead? That's before his crucifixion and resurrection. Yeah, that's better. That's a biblical way to talk. Yeah? So, and these are the words I speak unto you while I was yet with you. So it means that the words he spoke before his crucifixion, yeah, that all things must be what? Fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses. Yeah, what is law of Moses? Writings of Moses, the books of Moses, Genesis 2, Deuteronomy. So, there are some things that were written in the writings of Moses that were to be fulfilled. He now says that these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the writings of Moses, in the prophets and in the Psalms. So, prophets include Ezekiah, Isaiah, Habakkuk, Malachi. Yeah. So, it means that the words of Jesus before crucifixion were equal to the words of the prophet. And it means that the words of the prophets, they summarize to point to the resurrection. So it means that Moses wrote about the resurrection. Is that true? Genesis chapter 1, he wrote about the resurrection. Genesis 2, yeah, in his writings, Exodus, yeah. Isaiah wrote about the resurrection, yeah. Like a sheep led to the mouth of the shearer, opened up not his mouth, yeah. By stripes we are healed, spiritual, physical. Beautiful, you are there. Spiritual, yeah? Yeah? So, and the same thing Isaiah was saying. So, the message of Isaiah's writings is equal to the message of Moses' writings, equal to the message of Ezekiah's writing or Ezekiel's writing, and is equal to the words Jesus spoke before he was killed, and equal to the words he spoke upon resurrection. Is that true? Look at verse 45. How do we know? What they were saying, then he opened their understanding. That means he opened for the very first time their mindset, that they might synchronize the scriptures. They might put together bits and portions from the writings of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. What is the message or the summary of their message? Look at verse 46. And he said unto them, it is what? Written. So where was it written? Writings of Moses, scriptures, writings of the prophets, and the Psalms. Yeah, it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So it means that the message of Moses was that Christ would die and resurrect. Moses might have said, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. What is he saying? Christ would die and resurrect. Now, go back to Matthew 12:30. So it means that, so can you consider Matthew 12:30 to be amongst the words he spoke while I was still with you? Did you get that? Jesus says in Luke 24, that is after resurrection, the words I spoke while I was yet with you. So this was while he was yet with them, before he was crucified. Is that true? He now says that he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Look at verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven. Are we together? Are we together? So Jesus says that all manners of sins and blasphemy will be forgiven. Then pay attention to what he's saying. He's saying that, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. So this is this what I just said right now, what I'm just teaching right now, is one of the major verses why a lot of people don't speak in tongues. And why don't speak in tongues? I don't want to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. What do you mean by blasphemy? Matthew 12, verse 31. Yeah, now, so Jesus used the parable of a strong man and his spoils to teach about what? Thus it is written, behold not Christ who has suffered these things and rise on the third day. So it means that we must see the message of resurrection in this parable Jesus is giving. Are we together? Yeah, so go back to verse 28. Verse 29, when he says strong man. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good, except he first bind the strong man? And remember, we taught something. When you see strong man, there is a figurative expression for what? Because of time. It's a figurative expression for sin and death. Yeah? So the strong man that held us down in bondage is what? Sin and death. So it means that before you release those who were in the bondage of sin and death, you have to deal with the strong man's sin and death. Did you get that? So Jesus, before he released us, had to deal with the strong man's sin and death. So how did he deal with the strong man's sin and death? Look at Hebrews 2:14 quickly. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. What is a strong man's house? Sin and death. Yeah. How did Jesus release us from the power of the strong man? He partook. Is that true? He partook in death so that you'll be released. He says, for as much as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy. So how did God deal with sin and death? By dying and resurrecting. So Jesus gave death a death sentence by dying. So mankind would have thought, how? That's why you see some people, they ask questions. How, you know, we were on evangelism last week, and I met a Muslim brother I told you all about, and he said, how can God die? That in itself is foolishness to man, but it is God's wisdom. Altogether, so God's dying is God's wisdom in him partaking in death so that he can destroy the power of death, that is the devil's influence over our lives. So how are we delivered from death? In the fact that Jesus died and rose again. So by dying and rising again, he has delivered us from the strong man's house. Is that true? Is that true? So when you go back to Matthew 12 verse 31, quickly. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. It means that all. So look at it. Think about it this way. When it says all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, it means that sins are forgiven. Right? Blasphemy can be forgiven. When he now says, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. What is he really saying? Yeah, he has released people from bondage, and that is the message of the gospel, but not everybody will believe it. So blasphemy against the Holy Ghost means to reject the what? Deliverance. Did you get that? Did you get that? Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost means you are rejecting. If you need an extensive explanation on that, go to Investigating Scriptures Volume 2 and listen to track 4. If we sin willfully, that's the title of the message. Brother Taiwo, please help us trace that message. Hebrews, I was explaining Hebrews 6, verse 4 to 6, and Hebrews 10, verse 21, thereabout. Yeah, so to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost is what? It is to reject the offer of the Holy Ghost. So it simply means that the only sin that Christ did not die for is the sin of rejecting the gospel. Did you get that?
Yes,
did you get that? The only sin that Christ did not die for. So it means that if you reject the gospel, there's no remedy for that. But every other sin has a remedy by the resurrection of Christ. Yeah, so blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is not about tongues at all. He wasn't speaking about tongues at all. We saw that, right? He wasn't speaking about tongues. So go back to Mark 16, where we are. Mark 16, it says that he that believeth, this sign shall follow. They shall cast out devils in my name, and they shall speak with tongues, with new tongues. And we said that new tongues is a tongue that is unique to the believer. Okay, go to Acts now. Go to Acts 2:4. We saw that on Wednesday that Mark 16 is the only portion of the four Gospels where you see the word tongues. Yeah, so Mark 16 is very, very important to us. Let's read verse 4 together. 1, 2, 3, go. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Simply means what? They spoke. Wednesday's teaching. Yeah, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So this verse also is where you have the concept of spirit within and spirit upon. Yeah, so some people say that when they believe the gospel, they have the spirit in them. But why don't you speak in tongues? I'm waiting for the spirit to be upon. And we thought that the spirit upon is really you taking from the spirit within and putting upon, which is really what? There is a demonstration that the physical eyes of men will see. So now, look at this brother for instance. Is the spirit within him? Is the spirit in him? How is the spirit in him? By believing the... Is the spirit upon him now? Oh yeah, the spirit of God come upon you. What is he doing? He's speaking in tongues. So what do I say? The spirit is upon. So spirit upon is taking from that spirit within and letting there be a manifestation that the eyes of people can see. So when he says they were filled, now, is this brother full of the Holy Ghost right now? Is he filled with the Holy Ghost right now? Is he full of the Holy Ghost right now? How? He believed the gospel. Is he filled with the Holy Ghost right now? So be filled with the Holy Ghost. What is he doing? He's speaking in tongues. So when he's speaking in tongues, Luke, his narration in the book of Acts shows that there's an action that is seen for us to say he is filled with the Holy Ghost. A Christian is always full of the Holy Ghost, but not always filled with the Holy Ghost. So when Luke says they were filled with the Holy Ghost, the word there and is the word that is. So it is, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, that is, they began to speak with other tongues. The word their other tongues, rather, the word their other tongues is the word that speaks of a language that has no evolution. Yeah, we saw that on Wednesday, that is similar to that word new tongues. New tongues. So the word their other tongues, it means a language that is unique. It is only spoken by them that believe. So, they spoke with other tongues. How do we know? How do we know they were filled with the Holy Ghost? They spoke. So, everybody be filled with the Holy Ghost right now. Stop. Who stopped? Who started speaking? So, is it the Holy Spirit that speaks for you? What does he do? He gives utterance. He gives an ability, which is what you received upon the resurrection. And you speak. Okay, everybody say something in English. Just say anything in your mind in English. Anything that is godly. Yeah? Who decided to speak? Who decided to stop? Same thing with tongues. So, tongues is something that you decide. So, tongues is not something that... I tie my shoe, I lose my lace or something like that. Anyhow, you shall get the point. Yeah, you see, tongues is not too complex. People make tongues look like, you know. Why don't you speak in tongues, my brother? You will now use your willpower to answer why you don't speak in tongues. Instead of you to use your willpower to speak in tongues. Do you understand what I just said? Pastor, you know, the moment you start saying pastor, it means you have a willpower to answer me when I needed an answer from you. So the same way I say speak in tongues. But pastor, what I'm saying is just marabasata. Pastor, what does that mean? Hey, see, a man who is born of the Holy Ghost can never blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. The moment it is time for you to pick up the ability to speak in tongues, anything you say is tongues. Did you get that? But if you say, I want to speak in tongues, anything that comes out of your mouth, you already have utterance. He says, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with what? Other tongues, and speak in utterance. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, quickly. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. Look at verse 10. We looked at the things of the Spirit. Look at verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. Is the manifestation of the Spirit given to every man on earth? Is the manifestation of the Spirit given to every man on earth? Every man that... Because Paul is writing to a church. So when Paul says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every believer to profit with her, so it means that we have manifestation of the Spirit for our profitability. Are we together? Yeah. What are the examples or what did he give as diversities of this manifestation? Look at verse 8. For to one is given by the same Spirit. We looked at it on two Wednesdays ago. When he says for to one, look at it, look at me, everyone. Imagine now the Spirit of God. For to one, Brandon, so look at someone that lips is fine. Take tongues. Sister Pleasant, look at someone that has a very high vocabulary. Take interpretation. So, any day you now interpret tongues. What? Any day she interprets and doesn't speak in tongues. What? Is that what I gave you? No. For to one is given. There's a wrong translation in that verse. And we looked at it from Ephesians 4 verse 11, where it says that, and he gave some apostles. We said this, the word there, some, actually means indeed, truly, certainly. So when he says for to one, what he's teaching is that certainly is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. So when he says to another, it's not another person, but another manifestation is the word of wisdom. Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So when he says to another, it's not that he gives to one tongues, gives to another interpretation, gives to another one word of wisdom. No, it is that what? He gives tongues. Another thing he gives is what? Word of knowledge. How do we know it's for everybody? He told us that it is given to every believer to profit with all. So look at verse 9. So to another, is there another person? Another gift? Beautiful. Yeah. So to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing. Yeah. So a man who can speak in tongues can heal the sick. Are we together? A man who can speak in tongues can interpret his tongues. A man who can speak in tongues can minister by word of knowledge. Are we together? A man who can speak in tongues can minister by word of wisdom. Are we together? Look at verse 9, verse 10. He now says, to another. So another gift is what? Let's say that together. So every believer can work miracles. Are we together? Working of miracles is not only for your pastor or for your leader. Every believer has the indwelling of the Spirit and can decide when to lay hands and get one healed. Hallelujah. Say, I'm full of God. I'm full of power. So he says, another gift is working of miracles. Another gift is prophecy. Another is discerning of spirits. And another is what? Diverse kinds of tongues. Now, if you've been well taught, when you see a word in bracket there, what does it mean? Most likely wasn't in the original. Yeah, so the word diverse is not in the original. So it is to another kind of tongues. The word there, kind, is the word genus. We saw that on Wednesday. It's the word that deals with that language which is of a family. Are we together? It is a language of a family, a people, a nationality. Let me now ask you a question. This tongue is for which nationality? The nationality of what? Christians. The nation of what? Christ. The kingdom of what? The city of Jerusalem. Yeah? Heavenly Jerusalem. City of the living God. Is that true? So it means that there's a unique language that is for we that are believers. Are we together? Are we together? What did Mark call it? New tongues. What did Acts call it? Other tongues. What is he calling it here? Is it the same thing? So kind of tongues is equal to new tongues, is equal to other tongues, which is equal to that tongue that is the language that a man who has the Spirit has received. Did you get that? Did you get that? So it says that tongues are another interpretation. So another gift is interpretation. So if you can speak in tongues, you can interpret your tongues. Are we together?
Yeah.
Yeah, so next week, I thought we were going to do with interpretation today, but my Spirit just said we should dwell more on tongues today. Yeah? So we will teach about the doctrine behind interpretation of tongues. Yeah? And teach about how we interpret tongues. Yeah? And teach about how to understand if an interpretation is of God or not. Let me show you something quickly. Remember in 1 Corinthians, which is the scripture most people run to. They say 1 Corinthians 14, 26. It says women should keep silence in the church. Go there. 1 Corinthians 14, next two chapters. 34. Okay, let your what? Women keep silence where? For it is not permitted unto them to. They are commanded to be under, as also said the, verse 35. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their. So the woman in verse 34, is he every woman or married woman? The woman in verse 34, when he says, let you go and ask your husband, is he every woman or women that are married? So, no. The women that are married to their wives. Let me take you to the end of this teaching before we gradually get there. What you know, Corinth is a very interesting church. Corinth had so many issues. It was in Corinth you saw a man sleeping with his father's wife. Are we together? It was in Corinth you saw all manner. It was in Corinth you saw people drinking wine, you know, where people teach Holy Communion from today. Yeah, so it's in Corinth you see people drinking more wine than others. So it means that they had so many issues that Paul was addressing in Corinthians. So let me give you an example of what Paul was at. One of the issues Paul was addressing in Corinthians is that women started using an avenue for believers' meeting to speak to their husbands. Did you get that? For instance, someone comes and says, it's a woman. And says, Marabou, Sefu, Koltadam, Boshuk, Tapro, Tifu, Sekou, Tapoton, Vedeka, Progo, Doboshoda. And the husband's name is John. Yeah? And the husband's name is John. And he now says, she now says, Evroto, Boshuk, Tapro, Kotifu. For you see, John, that money you are hiding is for us. Or that money you are hiding is for your children's school fees. Do well to pay attention to it and give it out. For in So what did Paul now say? Let the woman kick back before they start causing trouble. Because you just see a woman that has a fellow sister. Maybe we are friends. I'm a woman, you're a woman. And you are complaining about how your husband is beating you. Me, I'll just look for avenue for believers meeting. Pastor, I have a word. Pastor, I have a word. Call it Mike. Come, for you see, your wife's name has to do with a P. Yeah? Is it a pleasure or pleasant? But this is what God says to you, that that hand which you used to raise to beat her is not of God. You see, those were interesting people. Are we together? In that tongues and interpretation they did, which of them is the one that is correct? No, the tongues has to be correct because it's of the spirit. Are we together? When you decide to speak in tongues, it means that you cannot blaspheme. Is that true? Yeah, and you cannot blaspheme because you've not rejected the spirit. Yeah, so the tongues you speak, Alvaro de Boschkin, the double seeker power of the gay, yeah, that's tongues. But the interpretation is of the flesh. So we don't use believers' meeting to correct ourselves when we have preconceived notions. So when he says, let your woman, the word their woman actually deals with wives. That's why he told them in chapter 11, let your woman cover their hair. Are we together? Yeah, but he now told them in verse 16, he now says, this custom is not in any other of the churches. So it means that the women in Corinth were stubborn. Altogether. Yeah. Paul cannot be saying, go and cover your hair. If you don't cover your hair, you dishonor your husband. He was teaching to a church. So it means that, now, it's tongues for only ladies and only, it's tongues for only men. Let's see something. Look at Acts chapter 2. Go back to Acts 2 quickly. Acts chapter 2 quickly. Verse 13. Verse 14. Peter standing up. Is it verse 14 or 15? But Peter standing. Remember we read Acts chapter 2 verse 4. And it says what? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. That is, they began to speak with tongues. Now, how many of them were in that room when they spoke in tongues? 120. How do we know? Acts chapter 1 verse 14. There were 120 people gathered in a room. Did that include women? So did women speak in tongues? Are we together? So it's tongues for only men. It's tongues for only the male gender. Look at how Peter explained what happened. He says, but Peter standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Verse 15. For these men are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Verse 16. But this is what that which was spoken by what? So Peter began to explain what was happening on the day of Pentecost from where? Scriptures. So where do we explain what we know today as doctrine? Scriptures. All Jesus had to teach eternal life was scriptures. So it means that a Christian can have Genesis to Malachi alone and teach your sins are forgiven forever. It means that from Genesis to Malachi alone, you can teach tongues and interpretation from there. We're going to see an example today. Yeah. So where is Peter reading from and explaining from? Joel. Yeah. Look at verse 16. Verse 17. What did Joel say? Joel said, It shall come to. So Joel, as a prophet, gave an utterance that it shall come to pass. What shall come to pass? I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. How do you know God's spirit is poured upon the flesh? Remember, poured upon means there is an action. So what is, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh? It means what? You will see an action from people who are born again. How do we know? Look at it now. Look at it. He says, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. His son female. His daughter male. Yeah. So prophecy is for sons and daughters. That means everybody. When he now says what? And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. You see, this verse is not saying all those old men. It's only dream they'll be dreaming. The old people that are young, you'll be prophesying. Then singles. They shall see vision. No. What Joel was saying as a prophet was trying to capture every faculty or every description or every work position or every stature of everybody. So it means that whether you are young, you are old, you will speak in tongues. Whether you are old, you are young, you will see visions. So your attention should not be on... Look at it. Now says, look at the next verse. And on my servants and my handsmaid, I will pour out in those days my spirit and they shall prophesy. He's not saying only husband and husband will be prophet. Mm-mm. Are we together? So where did Peter explain tongues from? Joel. Now, how do we know that Peter was explaining from Joel? He said it is written by the prophet Joel. So it means that we can teach tongues and interpretation from what? Prophet Joel. Now, hold on. In Acts chapter 2, when they were hearing their languages, are we together? Did they hear their language? Look at Acts 2:11. It now says, Crete, you know, you had mentioned some nationalities and some places people came from. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. How do you suppose those people heard the wonderful works of God? It means that there was tongues and interpretation in Acts chapter 2. How did Joel explain it? They shall prophesy. So what is prophesy? Tongues and interpretation. Are we together? Are we together? Yes, sir. We hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 14. Quickly, let's do a quick run through 1 Corinthians 14. Before you go to 1 Corinthians 14, go to Romans 6. Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Where did we start reading today? Mark 16:17. He that believeth that is baptized. So what baptized were we baptized, or what baptism were we baptized into? We're baptized into Christ. We were baptized into his death. Is that true? Yes, sir. Is that true? So, Mark wasn't saying he that believeth and is dipped into water. Is that true? We've talked about it over and over. There is no instruction of water baptism to the saints. Clear? Is that true? Yeah? Is that true? Beautiful. Yeah? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Go to Matthew 28 quickly. Hold your thoughts in Romans 6 and go to Matthew 28 verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that is the word authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19. He now says, go ye therefore and what? And what? Teach all nations, baptizing them Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Who did Paul say we have been baptized into? Christ Jesus. All together. So the baptism we have received is the baptism into the work of Christ. Yeah, the baptism in this context would mean teaching. Yeah, he now says, so he's not saying baptizing them in an open show of, how do you say it? Baptism is an open show of, as an outward show of what happened inside you. Okay, it's not true. A lot of times, there are people who are nothing has happened inside them. That didn't them inside water. All together. Yeah, if you want it to be an outward show, go and call channels. They should video you. Call NTA. Yeah, what is the best that happened to you when you are baptized? So there are a lot of people. I've met people who don't speak in tongues because they say they've not been baptized in water. They're waiting for them to be baptized in water. The best that water does to you is what? You had your bath outside. If a lot of times you come out more dirty than you had, because for instance in Nigeria, it's not a river we used to use. Then so anyway, some of our churches started getting tush. We started buying bath. My bath. We asked Bralemi and Bratemi to organize bath in that area. And I said, before you join the workforce, you must dip inside water. Let me not slow down. You might not like me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son, into the work of the Son. Go back to Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into, were baptized into his death. What does it mean to baptize into? It means to be a partaker of. Are we together? To be a partaker of. Look at the next verse, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. What does it mean? So if I say you are baptized into sand, it means that you have identified with sand. So it means that we are baptized into Jesus. We have identified with Jesus. So when he says that, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Hallelujah, verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, yeah, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Hallelujah. How many of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus? Yeah, how were you baptized? By believing the gospel. So a man who believes the gospel has identified with the work of Christ. Let me now show you something. If you believe the gospel, it means that you've received salvation. Go to Hebrews 4:1. Let's read Hebrews 4:1-2 together. Are we ready? Hebrews 4:1-2. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 2. Who were they unto them? Go to Hebrews 3. Go to Hebrews 3 verse 12. The previous chapter. Hebrews 3 is just the previous chapter, in case you are not sure. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from living God. Verse 13, quickly. But exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. Verse 15. While it is said, today if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. Verse 16. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. So when he says evil heart of unbelief, who is he speaking about? Those with Moses. Is that true? Yes, those with Moses. So, was the gospel preached to the people in Moses' time? What did they do? They hardened their hearts. What is the warning in Hebrews? Don't harden your heart like them. Look at the next verse. But with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcass fell in the wilderness? Verse 18. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? Hold on. So you said that. Let me ask you a question. Please follow attentively. This scripture says that God swore that they will not enter into his rest. Is that what the layman language is saying? Is that what the layman language is saying? God swore. He says, and to whom God swore that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So it means that those that believe not are not supposed to enter into the rest. Is that true? Look at verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Why could they not enter into his rest? because of unbelief. Did Moses teach about the gospel? Did Moses teach the gospel to them? Is the gospel the rest of God? Follow. Is the gospel the rest of God? What did they do to the rest of God that was presented to them? They rejected unbelief. So when you believe or disbelieve or you have a heart of unbelief towards the gospel, you cannot enter into God's rest. Follow attentively. Next verse. That's chapter 4, right? Let us therefore, he's been admonishing you from the story of Egyptians, Israelites rather, in Egypt. He now says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto... So was the gospel preached unto them? So a man who believes the gospel enters into God's rest. Who wrote about rest in the Bible for the first time? Moses. So what did he say? God made the earth in 7 days, and on the 7 day God rested. On the 7 day, is it God that rested? Or man is to enter God's rest? How do we know? He told us in verse 19 of the last chapter, they could not enter into his rest because of unbelief. So when you see Moses say, Genesis chapter 2 verse 2, he says that, and God rest, it's not that God finished making everything, and started wearing between and Talamia. Those fruits, they will spring. No. Moses was teaching about the rest that is found in the gospel. So Moses started preaching the gospel like we've taught already from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Right? And the gospel is God's rest. So it means that when you believe the gospel, you've entered into rest. When you believe the gospel, you've entered into God's what? Are we here? Have you gone home? You're here, right? So he says that for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. So the gospel is not a message of now. Think about it. If the gospel has been a message of God forgives sins, how can God be preaching a gospel, or how can God have offered a message about the gospel of forgiveness of sins, and forgiveness of sins is temporary? How can God, who is eternal, give temporary forgiveness of sins? It means that God is not powerful. You know, some people say that, when you don't mind those people in gospel hours, you're teaching for eternal forgiveness, your sins are forgiven once and for all. Dear saints, it takes a lot of unbelief to not believe that your sins are not forgiven forever. God, who is almighty. Okay. And the same people say, what is this popular song? What is the popular song that is raining right now? Something about impossible. What God cannot do doesn't exist. Yet we are telling you that God forgives sins forever. You say, Mba. No. Next tomorrow, what you cannot do does not exist. Whoa. You come back here tomorrow. Sins are forgiven. Pastor. Pastor. You are giving people licenses to sin. I don't need to give you license before you sin. The first time you told somebody worker, who taught you? The father called you and said, bro, no, so. See, when somebody drives like this, you say worker. Yeah, by nature or by the things we see in our environment, there's a tendency to what? Sin. You don't need a license. Are we together? So God cannot forgive sins and it's temporary. It doesn't make any sense. Are we together? You know, I always say something. A lot of people that are sounding like us are not saying the same thing like us. Child, that sister said yes. She has experienced it. For you to say that a chip can enter your body and make you unsaved, it means that all these years you've been shouting eternal life, you don't believe in eternal life. Because eternal life means that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from that which God has done. Nothing can undo the work of Christ. For you not to be saved forever, Christ has to die again and not resurrect. To be teaching that don't take vaccine. If you want to, vaccine is mark of the beast. Sorry, when Jesus washed your robe in his blood, which robe did you give him? When Paul said, I bear upon myself the mark of the Lord, he said there was mark like this, J. So if that which you received is spiritual, it means that nothing physical can tamper with that which is spiritual. Are we together? If what you receive, let me ask you a question. How many of you, when you became born again, you started doing like this? The pastor now says, don't worry, calm down. The Spirit of God is trying to adjust his house. How many of you are like that? Just say, calm down. That's how it usually happens. It's not for everybody, but it means that God wants to use you more. How many of you that happened to you? How many of you knew when the Spirit came to you? You see, a lot of us don't even know when the Spirit of God came into our hearts. On the last day, what you call the last day, it will shock you. There are a lot of people that you see in the mosque that are our brothers. All that makes you safe is believing the gospel. You cannot denounce your way out of God's hand. You are not strong. You are not strong enough. Today, I by the power invested on me. If you climb a 10-story building, if you're on the ground floor, it is your decision to either go to the first or not. Isn't that your decision? Once you go to your decision, you see, what we call the free will of man is not as strong as we teach about it. Your free will is not that strong. God gave us free will to choose. Why can't I choose? You are not that strong. Let me show you how you are not strong. Imagine, can you will to fly to Canada just like that? Can you will? Even though most of us have seen it on your eyes, want to go to Canada. Can you will to fly to Canada? Why are you looking at me like that? It's not true. God's word. Some of you, when we are praying in this church, we are saying, God's word prosper in Abuja. You say, God's word prosper in Canada. Canada is for God. Canada is for God. Oh, as my sister steps, even if you don't even have admission. If you can will, why can't you will yourself to Canada? So if you climb the first floor, it's still your willpower to either go downstairs or go up. Imagine you go to the 8th floor. Do you still have a decision to make? Yes, you can choose to go to the 10th floor or to come down. Once you get to the 10th floor, do you have a decision to make? You can climb the roof or you go down. Once you put your face throughout the window, outside the window, do you still have a decision to make? Yes, so you can choose to turn back. Once you put your first leg outside the window, do you have a decision to make? Once you leave your second leg, and you sit down on the window, is it your decision to make?
Yes.
Once you release yourself, is it your decision to make?
No.
Because you see your whip power. So, I don't want, I will not jump again. You're already in the motion. Imagine you're on the 7th floor, you're coming 6th floor. I don't want to jump again. That's eternal life. Up on to the point you believe, the decision to unbelieve has left your hands. Everything you say is words. You are not too strong. Bible says in John chapter 10, it says that the Father who gave them to me is stronger than all, and no one can pluck them from my hands. For you to remove yourself from God's hand, it means you are stronger than God. Stop being proud. What happens? For unto us was the gospel preached. So when the gospel was preached, what were they to do? They were to enter into God's rest. What did they not do? They did not enter into God's rest. Are we together? What did he now say? He says, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Look at verse 3. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. From the foundation of the world. Is that from the beginning?
Yes.
So it means from the beginning, God has offered rest to mankind. Are we together? What did Adam do? Adam rejected God's rest. Are we together? What was Adam to do? Adam was to believe the gospel and enter into God's rest. What did he do? He did not believe the gospel and he did not enter into God's rest. So God's supply of rest is not something that happened or God started planning when Adam sinned. No, it means that God is not Alpha and Omega. Yeah? For it to be that when Adam's going, these people, I've been telling them. You see, that Jesus, go and die for them. Before Adam was created, God had a plan. Are we together?
Yes,
the plan was already in motion before humans were made. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Let me show you something quickly before we'll pay attention to this on Wednesday yet more. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Now, look at chapter 13, verse 13. Last verse in chapter 13. Now abided faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is what? What is charity? Love? Beautiful. Go to the next verse. Follow after the greatest of this, which is what?
Charity.
Yeah, so it means that in your operation of the things of the Spirit, let love be the foundation of the things you do. You know, I taught this in passing on Wednesday. When Paul said, and some people look at it and say, you like doing as if you know it all. Yeah, Paul even said we know in parts. We know in parts. Yeah, we talked about it in passing on Wednesday. When Paul says we know in parts, we prophesy in parts, he's not saying that. How can we not have a complete message? How can what we have be in parts? Yeah, so when he says we know in part and everything, he was trying to say, he was speaking about his spiritual growth. Over time, he started mixing his flow of the Spirit with love. Yeah, that's why he now tells you the greatest is love. But I'm not paying attention to that. Look at verse 14. Follow after charity and desire spirituals, but rather that you may prophesy. The word there rather is the word melon, malon, M-A-L-L-O-N. And it's a word that means much more. Now, I'll show you why he was using the word rather in this verse. Look at verse 2. Please follow attentively. This is a very crucial part of tongues. He that speaketh in tongues. That means the word unknown is not there. Is that true? Because in bracket. Is that true? So he that speaketh in tongues, speaketh not unto, but unto
God.
For no man understandeth. If you follow service on Wednesday, what is that word there? For he that speaketh in tongues, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth it. Are we together? Not him. You can see clearly him is in brackets. Are we together? So the context determines the word used. So no man understandeth it. How be it in the spirit he speaketh what? Mysteries. Verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto to what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. So when it means speak, so if you are speaking in tongues, who are you speaking unto?
God.
If you are prophesying, who are you speaking to? What is prophecy? Tongues and interpretation. So if I speak in tongues, my brother of his kind of yeah, the only way you can interpret what I'm saying is by tuning to the Spirit of God already in you to get an interpretation. But what I said to a layman, it doesn't make any sense. Are we here? Are we here? When he that prophesied speaketh unto men. What does prophecy mean? Before I started teaching this morning, I gave a prophecy. I gave a tongue. I gave an interpretation. Did you understand what I said when I brought it to English?
Yes.
Beautiful, right? So were you able to relate with it when I brought it to English?
Yes.
Yeah? Look at verse 4. He that speaketh in tongues edifieth who? Himself. The word there edifies is the word that means to build up or to strengthen up. Please pay attention. The word to edify means to build up or to strengthen up. So he that prays or speaks in tongues builds himself, strengthens himself, creates more awareness of strength in himself, for himself. In creating more awareness, who are you speaking to? Who are you speaking to, please? Who are you speaking to now? He that prophesies edifies who? The church. He that prophesied edifies who? He that prophesied edifies who? So what does that mean? If I come to church, or imagine I come to church on a Sunday morning and I just say, for prayer can I and I speak like that for the next 2 hours. I've not edified you. But if I come and say, for the Spirit of God lives in you forever, it dwells in you forever. Do not give into fear and trepidation, for there is no fear in that which God has done in Christ. Did you hear what I said? Is that instructive? Do you think that edifies somebody? Do you think that strengthens somebody?
Yes.
What is the strength there? In the fact that God says to you, don't give in to fear. So when you speak in tongues, you are speaking to God. When you speak when you interpret your tongues, you are speaking towards the church for understanding. So I'm going to pay attention to what you call interpretation of tongues. Yeah? Look at the next verse. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. What is rather there? Much more. So it means that when you speak in tongues and you're in the midst of the church, make sure that your end goal is to bring interpretation, which is what? Prophecy. Did you get that?
Yes.
I would that you all speak in tongues, but rather, let the end goal of your speaking in tongues amongst the saints be prophecy. Why? So that the church can be edified. Please follow attentively. Yeah? For greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues in the church. You see in a few verses after, Paul says that, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than ye all. That means Paul did not do more of interpretation than speaking in tongues in his lifetime. except he interpret that the church may receive what? Edifying. What is edifying? To strengthen, to build up. That's why Jude will tell you, Jude 1:20, he says what? Build up yourself in the most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. So when you pray in tongues, you build yourself. Let me show you something. We're going somewhere. I've not shown you since. Verse 6. Now, brethren, the word there, brethren, is the Greek word adelphos. It means those who are born from the same womb. Are we together? Was it everybody in Corinth that were related by blood, that had the same father and mother? That man would have been a man to give birth to everybody in the church. So, brethren, breh, what you call breh? breh. Yeah, it means we are of the same womb. What gave birth to you, gave birth to me. What gave birth to you? Resurrection. What gave birth to me? Resurrection. What do I have? The indwelling of the Spirit. What do you have? So when he says, now, brethren, he's speaking to a people that have a commonality. If I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? I give an example. If I come to church on a Sunday and I speak in tongues for 2 hours and I go, what does it profit you? But let me now show you. In as much as it doesn't profit you, does it profit me? How? I have strengthened myself. I have edified myself. I have communicated to God, with God. Except I shall speak to you either by revelation, knowledge, prophecy, or doctrine. Verse 7, quickly. And even things without life-giving sound. Look at verse 9. Talk about Acts 5. We'll look at that on Wednesday. So likewise, he, except ye utter by tongues words easy to understand, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Verse 11. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a what? Barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous or spirituals, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. So what did he say you should seek that you may excel in? What edifies the church? Prophecies. Interpretation. So in as much as you are fluent in tongues, you must seek and desire. So next, as we round up this teaching, we'll have serious believers meeting. Yeah? Serious believers meeting. A believers meeting is a meeting where every believer that is present participates. A teaching meeting is a meeting where the one that stands in front as the teacher teaches what I'm doing right now. A prayer meeting, everyone prays. But a believer's meeting means that everybody edifies. So you will see by the Spirit and know things about her. You will see by the Spirit and know things about her. You will see by the Spirit and know things about him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous and spiritual, desire that ye may excel in what? Prophesying. Excel in prophesying. Verse 13. Wherefore let him that speaketh in tongues pray that he might interpret. Did he say pray for interpretation? The word there, pray, is so as to or so that. Eh? The word pray is not always used as prayer, as when you are praying. For instance, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit of God helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray as we ought to. It wasn't teaching about prayer at all. Is that true? Lay your hands on that teaching if it's not fresh again. Yeah, for the Spirit helpeth our infirmity. That scripture again is not about speaking in tongues. He's not saying that if you do not speak in tongues, you know, likewise, we never die in family, for we don't know what we should pray as we ought to pray. In groanings that cannot be uttered. Yeah? That's not tongues. Is that true? Is that true? Yeah, you should lay your hands on that teaching. Let me try and help you. That teaching is in Investigating Scripture Series 1 or 2. Or the new man, yeah, either of those series, yeah. Lay your hands on that and understand Romans 8 very well. Yeah? Wherefore let him that speaketh in tongues pray that or desire or so or speak so as to interpret. Why? So that there is edification to the church. Look at verse 14. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit what? But my understanding is what? Are we together? As for the prayer, I'm communicating with God. Your understanding, my understanding is unfruitful. For my understanding to be fruitful, I need to interpret what I just said. Are we together? What do I need to interpret what I just said? The Spirit of God in me. Look at the next verse. What is it then? What did Paul say? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with my understanding also. So you see that praying with understanding is the also. Not the fundamental. Did you get that? Pray with my understanding is the also. You know, see, after church, I'm going to area one. I also go to the place also. I will also go. Yeah. So also just means that is by the side. But the main place is where? Area one. So I will pray with my spirit. He now says, I will sing with the spirit. What is singing with the spirit? Singing with the spirit is supplying melody to the tongues you speak. This speaking in tongues, for instance. What is singing in tongues? So I can speak in tongues and interpret my tongues. I can also sing in tongues and interpret my tongues that I just sang and it becomes a song. Did you get that? So, when you interpret what you sing in tongues, that is giving melodies to the tongues you already speak. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupied the room of the unlearned say amen? The word there unlearned is the Greek word idiotis. It means one who is not unschooled concerning, or someone who is unschooled concerning a matter. Someone who lacks knowledge about a subject matter. So, it says that if we are speaking in tongues and an unbeliever walks into this place, how will he know when we are finished or when he say amen? Why? Because we spoke in tongues, it cannot relate. He now says what? Seeing that he understand not what thou sayest. Is that what I just explained? Verse 17. 17, quickly. For thou verily give thanks well, but the other is not. Let me ask you a question. So if you sing in tongues, what are you doing? You give it thanks well. Let me ask you a question. Why you want to pray in the Holy Ghost? Why, if you want to pray from now to 7 p.m., 7 hours, for instance. After 1 hour, you'll be tired of English. What do? You switch to tongues. What don't you do? God, you know, if I had 1 million tongues, I'd have prayed more. What do? You switch to tongues and keep praying. You don't need to complain about how insufficient your tongues are. What do? You sing in tongues. He that singeth in tongues, giveth thanks well. Look at verse 18. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Is that Paul? That means Paul was constantly found in a disposition or with a disposition of always speaking. Why do you suppose Paul spoke in tongues? He that believeth and is baptized, these signs shall follow. They shall cast out demons in my name, they shall speak with new tongues. Why do you suppose Paul could speak in tongues? Romans 6:8, it says we are now alive unto God. Hallelujah. We have identified with his baptism. So there's a language inherent in the spirit we received. All you need to speak in tongues is to believe the gospel. Paul says, I thank my God. But see what it says in verse 19. Yet in the church, he has told you, I pray in tongues more than ye all. But yet, when I'm in the church, I had rather speak what? With my understanding. Why? That by my voice, I might teach others also. So why did Paul teach about tongues interpretation mostly in the church? It's so that when one speaks in tongues and is interpreted or interpreted, it brings edification to the church, which is the saints in the church. Are we together? I might teach others also than 10,000 words in tongues. So I don't come to church on a Sunday and speak in tongues from 9 a.m. to 11:30. What do? At most, I speak in tongues and interpret it for you to understand, for you to relate. We're going to pay attention to how to biblically go through interpretation of tongues. Look at verse 20. Brethren, do you suppose that brethren will include both male and female?
Yes.
You are there. So brethren in scriptures are seen like this. It's not about a gender. Inherent in brethren is brother and sister. Paul tells in Galatians, he says, there is neither female nor male, neither Jew nor Greek. For as many of us that have what believed the gospel, we have been baptized into Christ. Hallelujah. Now, please, this is the crux of this teaching. Brethren, be not children in understanding. How be it in malice, be ye children. But in understanding, be what? Understanding of what? And interpretation. Don't be a child when it comes to matters about tongues and interpretation. Be a what? A man. That means have understanding. Let me now show you what Paul said. Look at verse 21. In the law, it is written. Where is in the law? Don't jump at the answer. This is not spiritual, physical. In the law, it is written. It is what? Not necessarily.
Let me now just say scripture and save yourself all this stress. Don't be looking for details. Because when I show you the where he's talking from, you will be shocked. Brethren, you will be shocked too. In the law it is written, with men of, now that means men of is in bracket. Right? Follow. With other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people, and yet for all they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that what? Believe. Go back to verse 21. In the law it is written. What is written? With other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people. Go to the book of Isaiah 28 verse 11. Is that the writings of Moses? Anyway, scripture. So the law in the Bible is not always speaking about the writings of Moses. Are we together? 28:11. For with stammering lips and with another tongue will I speak to these people. Is that the same thing we read? Is that where we read? So where was Paul teaching tongues and interpretation from? Isaiah. Let me ask you a question. Where did Peter teach tongues and interpretation from? Joel. All you need to teach everything you believe for as a Christian is in Genesis to Malachi. You just need to read it well. That's why materialism and covetousness is a lens you must not use to approach scriptures. Yeah? Because what will happen to you is that you see money in every Bible verse. Every Bible verse you will see money. Are we together? So if you go to an unbeliever and you're praying in tongues, yeah? The message they are not hearing from your tongues is that what? This is rest. Come. This is rest. Come. Let's end in 1 Corinthians 14 quickly. We'll pay attention to this. Please follow on Wednesday. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 21. In the law. So is the law Moses? Have we cleared that the law is not Moses? So where is the law now can mean scriptures. It can mean the law of Moses. It can mean the writings of Moses. It can mean the Ten Commandments. The context determines it. How do you know that this is not Moses? We read it from Isaiah. All together. So where is Paul teaching tongues and interpretation from? Isaiah. Where did Peter teach it from? Joel. So it means that you can teach from Joel and Isaiah tongues and interpretation successfully without opening 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is an ojoro for us now. 1 Corinthians 14. Just by the time you read 1 to 30, if you can read English, you actually understand tongues. But imagine Paul having to explain tongues and interpretation from Isaiah. Isaiah now tells you in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, who shall believe our report? Yeah, so part of the report that is to believe is an inherent ability of tongues made vocal. So when you're going for an interview, where you're going for any, anywhere you find yourself, be praying the Holy Ghost. Yeah, it supplies, it brings your full consciousness and awareness of God's resurrective power. Yeah, see, your tongue is not necessarily for, you know, sometimes it can be very interesting. Your tongue is not necessarily for, after you want to submit your exam paper, you now start speaking. See, when you submit your exam paper, it has gone. It has gone. There's nothing you can do to undo. It has gone. Once you come out of the exam hall, that's why I was telling my sister yesterday. Don't finish the exam and be looking for people who say, what's that sound number 14? You will most likely fail before the result comes, because you just realize that you don't get any question. You meet sister Esther, number 14 is different from your own. You meet Ayo, it's not number 20 is different from your own. In your own mind, two people who failed two different questions, they made you fail your own two questions. And maybe you got it. That when you speak in tongues, for instance, fear is not tolerated around you. Please follow on Wednesday. He says, in the law it is written, with other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people. So it means that in the tongues you speak, there's a message God is speaking. What is the message? This is rest. This is refreshing. And yet for all that will they not hear me, says the Lord. Verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a not to them that be, but to them that what? So what is tongues? A sign to them that believe not. So when you go out and you meet someone who is an unbeliever and you speak in tongues, it's a sign. That is not the message. Remember that teaching on Bible seminar? Healing is a sign. Healing is not the message. Jesus says, go into the world and preach the gospel. Not go into the world and preach that you will be healed. Hallelujah. Look at verse 23 quickly. If therefore the whole church come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in an unlearned, what is the unlearned? Idiotes, one who is not schooled concerning matter, yeah, or an unbeliever, would they not say they are mad? So when he speaks in tongues, an unbeliever looks at him, it's not a man. That's what happened in Acts 2.
Look at there, look at them.
Others mocking, saying these ones are drunk. They are mad. All together. But why do you suppose they say that they are either unbelievers or unlearned concerning the things of the Spirit? 24, finally. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or an unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all. Verse 25. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. Look at verse 26. 27. Let me show you something quickly before we go. Look at verse 27. Please follow attentively. If any man speak in tongues, let it be by two, or at most by three, and by the cause, let one what? Where? In your house or in church? Church. That's when you're having a collective meeting. Verse 28. Please follow attentively. If there be no interpreter, let him keep what? Let him keep what? In the... And let him speak to himself and to... I thought he said you keep silence. He said keep silent, but he said let you speak. So silence doesn't mean keep your mouth shut. It means reduce the vocal range of your voice and have a mini believers meeting or a mini meeting between yourself and God. So when he says woman, keep silence, he's not saying woman, when you come to them. No. Keep silence is not a word. A word doesn't have a universal meaning. The context determines what it is used for. So let him keep silence in the church and let him look at this. For instance, when I spoke in tongues, right? When I was speaking in tongues, I interpreted it. For instance, yeah, you could choose to keep short or you could choose to pray under your breath, but in a way not to distract me. By speaking under your breath, you are speaking. You are having a meeting between yourself. And verse 2 says what? He that speaketh in tongues speaketh unto God. Men might not understand it, but he speaketh unto God. So if there be no interpreter, it's not saying, oh, somebody just trying to say, hey, what is it you are speaking to? You are saying rubbish. It's fake, fake tongues. Fake tongues is a tongue. Simple question. Where did you hear the original one from? Let's assume you heard it somewhere. Who made you validate it to be original? Beelzebub. It's fake. God is just opening your mind. How do you know the fake? How do you know the original? Are we together? So, if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence. That word there, and is the word kai. It means which is, that is, I mean. So, let him keep silence in the church. I mean, let him speak to himself and to God. Can we edify ourselves a little this morning, tongues? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Manabo Shevakotopregna.